Hare Krishna. So this evening, as Chaturatma said, we're going to talk about heroes. And in the course of that discussion, we may celebrate Valentine's Day by discovering a new emotion. An emotion you may not be familiar with, but which psychologists have recently discovered, so to speak. So we're going to start with a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 3, Text Number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this verse from the 6th canto, I'm sure all of you are familiar with it because basically it's just a listing of the names of the 12 Mahajans. So I'll read it, and then as it's a list of names, you won't repeat it, but we'll then describe, we'll talk about the Mahajans. Swayambhura Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Palado Janako Bhishmo Palaya Vyasa sakivayam.
Adivaya sakivayam.
So the translation, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhu Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami, and I. Who's the I? Anybody know who the I is? Yes, Yamaraj. Sukadeva Goswami and I, myself, Yamaraj, know the real principles of religion. We often think of the Mahajans, and correctly so, as our spiritual authorities. And that has a strong emphasis on scriptural authority. But I'd like to suggest to you that there's another way to understand the 12 Mahajans, and that is as heroes. Heroes are a very necessary part of life. And a lot of times, especially our young devotees, teenagers, they're looking for something, someone to cement their involvement in Krishna consciousness. They're looking for heroes. They're looking for someone to inspire and enthuse them in the process of Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's not just young people, but everyone needs that kind of boost and enthusiasm. And indeed, that is what the practice of devotional service is based on, following those that have gone before. Now, if you're going to follow those that went before, better you have some feeling linked to that following than just doing it blindly, isn't it? It's more enthusing. It's more enlivening. And so, especially for our young people, there was a poll done by an organization called Barron Prize for Young Help Heroes, American young people. And so they did a survey of these teenagers, and they asked them, could they name a personal hero that they had? Only half of those surveyed could name a hero. And of the other half, you'd be ashamed to think what they considered their heroes. Superman and Spider-Man were named twice as often as Gandhi and Martin Luther King or Abraham Lincoln. Spider-Man and Superman. Somebody's out there making people follow them as a hero while we sit around and let it happen, or maybe even participate ourselves in it. These young people, whether they even knew about Gandhi, Martin Luther King, or Abraham Lincoln, they chose a fictional character, Spider-Man or Superman, as a hero. And so the results of the survey go on to say that celebrities were named by more than half of the respondents, athletes, movie star, musician, and 10 named winners on American Idol as their hero. This is a sad state of affair, or a great opportunity for all of us, because these 12 Mahajans, who just recited their names, all of them can be and should be understood as heroes, and the inspiration that comes from that, we should try to imbibe in our life. So what does having a hero actually do for us? Well, as I mentioned, there's a new motion that I can introduce to you tonight. It's called elevation. Is anybody a student of psychology that's familiar with this emotion, elevation? Okay, elevation is an emotion elicited by witnessing virtuous acts of remarkable moral goodness. It is experienced as a distinct feeling of warmth and expansion that is accompanied by appreciation and affection for the individual whose exceptional conduct is being observed. It's another kind of love, in other words. Having a hero, nay, I say, worshiping a hero, is a tangible feeling of love. So we're talking about love, appropriately so, it's Valentine's Day. We're talking about love when we're talking about heroes. Now, I don't know how many of you have heroes or have even thought about the subject since coming to Krishna consciousness. But for me, upon first reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, I came under the sway of this elevation emotion, the one particular of the Mahajans. Does anybody know me that could say who it is besides my wife? Oh, Srila Prabhupada is another hero that we have, and we can talk about that later. But these 12 Mahajans. Bhishma Dev, yes. No, not Bhishma Dev. Right, she knows. She has to remind me. Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, a very heroic personality. Very heroic. You know, Bali Maharaj, a little bit about his history. When I became interested in Bali Maharaj's history and following him as a hero, following the hero Bali Maharaj, at that point, he was dead and born in a demoniac family. But if you go on his life from there, it's a tremendous trajectory of dedication, of integrity, of self-sacrifice, everything you would want to be inspired by in seeing and observing the remarkable moral goodness of someone. Bali Maharaj had been killed in battle with the demigods, but his guru, Sukracharya, knew a mantra by which he could bring people back to life, bring warriors back to life. So he brought Bali Maharaj back to life. And Bali Maharaj was naturally very indebted to Sukracharya. So this part of the story is important because it shows you how obligated Bali Maharaj was and what a difficult time he had in protecting his integrity because of that obligation. Bali Maharaj went on to rebuild his army and conquer the heavenly planets. And in doing so, he unseated Indra. And Indra's mother, upset by that, prayed for the Lord's incarnation to come so that the heavenly planets could be regained and Bali Maharaj dethroned. Prabhupada has a very interesting introduction to this whole Leela of Bali Maharaj. And he focuses on Bali Maharaj's rightful possession of the heavenly planets. His rightful possession. What do you think Prabhupada means when he's talking about the rightful possession of the heavenly planets by Bali Maharaj? It means that he engaged in warfare to achieve something, but he did it according to the rules of warfare. This is one thing, the first lesson we see from Bali Maharaj, that actually he followed the rules. He followed the rules. I mean, there are rules for war. Prabhupada says, Bali Maharaj conquered all the planets of the universe by rightful possession. A king can conquer other kings by strength, and such possession is considered to be rightful. So he was rightfully owning the heavenly planets to the point where, when prayed for by the demigod's mother, the Lord appeared as Vamandev. Vamandev did not just take it away from him, take the heavenly planets away from him, because, Prabhupada says, he had rightful possession of the heavenly planets by following the rules of warfare. And so the Lord had to devise a different way to take back the heavenly planets. And he did this by tricking Bali Maharaj. He tricked him. Is that fair? The Lord, he didn't just come and snatch everything from him. This is mine, give it back. But he tricked him. This is sort of a humor between Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamandev that also makes the relationship very wonderful. But the Lord did not exercise his right, he could have, but he didn't, but he tricked Bali Maharaj. Now, he came to an assembly where Bali Maharaj was performing a sacrifice. And part of the Vedic sacrifices, again, doing the right thing, is to give in charity. So he was giving in charity, and he was approached by Vamandev. Give me 3 paces of land. Second lesson about Bali Maharaj. He laughed at Vamandev's request for 3 paces of land. Don't you know I can give you planets, I can give you villages, I can give you a wife, I can give you anything you want. You're obviously not very intelligent because you're asking me for 3 paces of land only. Vamandev then instructed Bali Maharaj, getting out of this crazy philosophy that we have in our minds still today. Somebody was talking about it recently in class. More is better. Wasn't somebody talking about that in the morning class recently? More is better. We tend to think that way. The more I have of something, the better off I am, the better my life will be. But Vamandev instructed Bali Maharaj, no, I'm not the foolish one here, you're the foolish one, because if one is not satisfied by what he gets by providence, then he'll never be satisfied, no matter how much he has. An important lesson. It's an important lesson coming in the history of Bali Maharaj that we can note and follow his example. The more doesn't mean better. Bigger doesn't mean better. And so Bali Maharaj agreed, I'll give you 3 paces of land as you've asked. Then the trouble started. His guru, Sukracharya, understood Vamandev to be Lord Vishnu, and therefore he advised Bali Maharaj, don't give him the 3 paces of land. Now, this is the same Sukracharya who had brought him back to life and to whom he was very much indebted. But Bali Maharaj was in a dilemma now, what to do? I promised to give 3 paces of land to this brahmana, but my spiritual master is telling me don't do it. Pretty hard choice, wouldn't you say? Would anybody like to be in that kind of position? You have to make the choice between the order of their spiritual master and the promise that they've made. Bali Maharaj was in an awkward position. especially when Sukracharya started explaining to him how he could get out of it. He told him that because you didn't chant Om when you made the promise, therefore you don't have to follow the promise. Pretty convenient, isn't it? Because he didn't say Om when he gave the promise, he could not have to worry about fulfilling it. Then, not seeing Bali Maharaj move from his promise, he told him that the Vedic injunctions are that if you make a promise that compromises your livelihood, then you don't have to follow it. You can ignore it. Again, a very convenient type of approach to truth-telling or lying. And these are coming from his spiritual master. So it put Bali Maharaj in a very, very difficult situation. What was he going to do? And the Srimad Bhagavatam is very poetic and emphatic about this, where it describes that Bali Maharaj took some time. He took some time deciding what to do. It was a momentous occasion in his life. So when momentous occasions in our lives come up, that's when we need heroes. That's when we have to act like a hero. We need a role model. And Bali Maharaj provides that for each and every one of us as devotees, because we're all confronted with the perplexities of material life practically on a daily basis. How will I remain a devotee when this influence is pulling me this way? How will I remain truthful when this circumstance is so complicated? How will I know what to do? You may be interested to know that this problem is not a new problem in human society, especially the Greeks. Greek philosophers used to talk about this, and this idea of what to do in a perplexing situation depending on one's heroic or act of integrity, one's heroic act of integrity, was noted by, which one was it? By Plato, when he said that integrity will show you the way. Integrity will show you the way. In other words, the heroism of walking the talk, making the hard decisions, following your promises, telling the truth, all these good moral things, which we go back to this elevation emotion, that has to be strong in your heart. It has to be practiced. Otherwise, it'll be difficult for you to do that. And again, this is something that each and every one of us faces at one time or another in our life, or maybe even on a daily basis. You may be working in a big finance company. You may be working in an IT profession. You may be working as a teacher. Or you may be working as a lawyer. But the situations are going to come up when your integrity, your willingness to be a hero and do the right thing come up. And just like anything else, unless we're practiced, we will falter. Unless we're practiced, we will falter. So therefore, each and every one of us should have a hero. If not one of the 12 Mahajans, some other great devotee's life we should follow. You can find them in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures of Krishna consciousness. But unless we're practiced, unless we're studied in this regard, then it'll be very difficult for us to maintain our integrity and do what we said we're going to do. Because it's not that the rainbow comes out and the birds start chirping and the sun breaks through the clouds when you do the right thing. Often, when you do that, all hell breaks loose by doing the right things. So are you prepared to withstand that kind of a situation? Or do you take the easy route out? Another Western philosopher described this kind of integrity or heroism as being, oh, what? I can never find anything I'm looking for. It. Oh, Eric Fromm said, integrity means a willingness not to violate one's identity. We're talking about our very self-identity here. Am I someone who has the integrity to make difficult decisions like Bali Maharaj? Or am I someone who's just unpracticed, unwilling, undisciplined, and not making progress, often not even as a human being, because I can't keep my word? We have to think about these things. And having heroes that we can look to their lives is a big help in this regard. So, Bali Maharaj has thought about it enough now. What did he decide to do? Anybody say what he decided to do? You all know what he decided to do. Somebody has to say it. Chaturanga. What did he decide to do? He decided to give the three paces of land to Vamandev. That's what he asked for. So he said, yes, I will give you that. And so he gave it. Immediately upon giving that land, Sukracharya, his spiritual master, who has now been defied by his disciple, cursed him that you will lose everything. So then Vamandev started to take his three paces of land. But the first pace, his first step, he took all the way from the Patala Lokas up to the heavenly planets. He took them back. With his second step, his foot reached to the edge of the universe, and his foot stuck a hole in the universe where the Ganges came in. But he had taken two steps and taken everything away from Bali Maharaj, just as Sukracharya had predicted and cursed him. And so then, he had taken two steps, but he promised three. What was he going to do? He said, you can place your third step upon my head. He was very proud doing that, but actually I don't think that Vamandev was quite satisfied by that. And as a result of not being satisfied by that, he chastised him and told him, not only did he lose everything, but he was sent by Vamandev to the hellish planets, where he had to dwell for thousands of years. Of course, he gave him benedictions too, because he tried to satisfy them. Well, actually, since it's Valentine's Day, another husband-wife thing, as you mentioned. When Bali Maharaj didn't have a place for the Lord's third step, his wife chastised him. On top of everything else, his wife chastised him. You think you're such a big person, you have everything, but you can't even keep your promise. So he was humiliated in that way. Actually, the Bhagavatam describes five things that happened to Bali Maharaj when he acted with integrity. And we're not talking about somebody that acts without integrity. I'll leave that for you to figure out what happens. But somebody that acts with integrity like Bali Maharaj, still he had to face a difficult situation. And there are five things that he had to face. They are being defamed being cheated, being cursed, being disturbed by negligence, and being killed. These are five situations that are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which happened to Bali Maharaj. So, throughout all of that, he was fixed in his vow and didn't give up his truthfulness. He said he was going to give 3 paces of land, and he gave 3 paces of land. Therefore, he's a hero to this day, and Krishna, Vamadeva, went with him to the heavenly, to the hellish planets and stayed there. Bali Maharaj was Satya Vak, true to his word. Therefore, he's a hero. He's a hero to me, not because I follow my word or I'm qualified in any way like Bali Maharaj, but because that's what I aspire for. And that's what heroes are meant for, inspiring us. So we can aspire for something higher than just the mundane life around us. That's what heroes provide for us. And again, especially for our children and for young people, rather than be caught in the trap of looking for heroes in the material realm, we've seen what type of heroes we gravitate towards. Rather, take inspiration, spiritual inspiration. Prabhupada mentioned at the beginning, Srila Prabhupada. What an inspiring story Srila Prabhupada has given the world for those that are looking to achieve something great in life. Look at the obstacles he overcame. Yadavar is sitting here. His film very nicely portrays all the difficulties that Prabhupada had to undergo. And he did it without flinching. He did it without ever looking back. There was not any regret in the man. He strode very firmly up the gangplank to the Jaladuta when he boarded in Calcutta, and he never looked back, thinking, well, I made some mistake, I put myself in a difficult situation. He never looked back. And because of he was determined like that, he was able to accomplish so much. He's a genuine hero for all of us. They have all kinds of different things you'll find on the internet about how different people in different ages or stages of their life need or think about things. And so one of those things is people who found success in life after 65 or something like that. Generally, you get 65, you think it's over. You get 70, you think it's over. But Prabhupada was just starting at that time. Just starting because he took inspiration from his own spiritual master. Immediately he took that role. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati took the role of a hero for Srila Prabhupada the first time he met him. And what was Prabhupada's comment when coming down from the first meeting with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Oh, here's a sadhu in whose hands the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is rightly placed. And he also said, I accepted him as my spiritual master at that first meeting. Meant he was inspired by him. He was inspired to move to change his life. Change didn't come right away, but the seed came right at the first meeting. So that type of inspiration each and every one of us can have on those around us. We don't know who's looking to be inspired, who will be inspired, if we act with integrity and heroism. So it's incumbent upon us to do that for our own well-being as well as for the well-being of others. Srila Prabhupada is a wonderful example of a hero. And our God brothers and God sisters around us also can inspire us. Look at the heroic sacrifice that everyone has made, giving up what other opportunities they had in their life. They gave that up to give their life to spreading Krishna consciousness. And as we all know, that's not easy. As I said, when you do the right thing, it doesn't mean that the sun's going to start shining and birds are going to start chirping. It's going to be difficult. But that shouldn't stop one from doing that. And what doesn't stop one, when one's in that situation where he or she is not stopped by doing that, that's because they're inspired in their heart. And that inspiration carries them over any doubts or misconceptions to achieve heroism by becoming Krishna conscious. So these 12 Mahajans, of them Bali is very inspiring to me. Bhishma also. But all of them may inspire us each differently. Or even the six Goswamis. Their lives may inspire others as well in different ways. They're renunciates. But we see that young men and women from Western cultures where renunciation was not a big part of life like it is in India or the Vedic culture. But they were inspired very much by the example of the renunciates in our line, the six Goswamis. And they dedicated their lives in different ways. Again, not that it was easy. Not that there was an easy choice. But it was the right thing to do. So that's what it comes down to in heroes. Seeing somebody that consistently does the right thing and following them. It's just another way of saying the same thing, that we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we're followers of the six Goswamis, that we're followers of Srila Prabhupada. It means that we try to do that with integrity and enthusiasm. Whatever comes, hell or high water, we remain fixed in that. Actually, Srila Prabhupada expected no less. And there are the few, fortunate few who gave him no less by dedicating their lives. So we should try to follow them. But it starts with a culture of accepting heroes, at least in one way of looking at things. So there's some discussion, question, comments. Yes.
So, what is the problem if somebody makes Krishna as a hero? And what I'm saying is, generally when we make somebody hero, then, and if we get into a difficult situation, we think, okay, what he has done in this situation, and I would do the same thing. But the difficulty with Krishna, he has so many gopis, and he has done all kind of things, and we make Krishna as a hero, and we can't do what he has done, because you know everybody, every time we are advised, okay, he is God, you can't do that. So what is the difficulty, or should we make Krishna as a hero?
Well, Krishna has done a lot of things. Everyone wants to immediately follow the example or take him as a hero in his activities with the gopis. What about other things that he's done for the benefit of others? Like, can we imitate him by lifting go downhill, can we do the other kind of manifestations that he showed of his godhood? Can we do those? No, we just want to rush to the most intimate meal of the Lord and imitate that. So that's not following. Do something that he showed that is a challenge to you, and see you do that, then try to claim you're following him in that regard. Don't take it cheaply.
I have one question. I was reflecting my own beginning of life, that I had some frustration in my childhood, so I left my home, I went to Mayapur. There is a beginning, some impetus that brought us to Krishna, or I could say for me. Boli Maharaj, he did not have a pure devotional impetus in the beginning. His intention was not pleasing Vishnu or doing devotional service. His intention was, in the rivalry, he wants to be the ruler of heaven with a safety and security, no opposition. He wanted to have that. So there was a selfish motive. But it happened somehow or other that Vamandev appeared, and he understood from Prahlad Maharaj's previous instruction that he should give everything, so at the end everything. Even Chaturatma Prabhu, when he made the announcement, he said Giriraj Maharaj's opinion was, or Prabhupada's opinion, ahetuki. It should be no cause in our devotion. But we see those, all those Mahajans, there is some selfish motive. Dhruva Maharaj had a selfish motive. Many Bhagavatam. Their origin, beginning, as Boli Maharaj, is also.
Well, Boli Maharaj happened to be born in the family of Prahlad Maharaj. And so he got some special mercy of Prahlad Maharaj prior to the stage of the life that we're discussing here. So he got the blessings of a Vaishnava. And so the blessings of the Vaishnava are such, whether they come through family, whether they come accidentally, whether they come, however they come, they are the special mercy of the Supreme Lord. And that seed gives one the opportunity and the knowledge. Krishna reciprocates by giving the knowledge how to act when the Lord appears and the opportunity to render pure devotional service comes. And then one can take it. And so when Boli Maharaj was deciding, should I give the three paces of the land? He was deciding, should I follow? This is Vishnu. Sukhacharya confirmed this is Vishnu. Should I surrender to Vishnu? Should I surrender to the Supreme Lord? Or should I not do that? Should I take one of the other Karmakanda prescriptions? I didn't chant Om, or it's for my livelihood, therefore I can lie. He had a choice between pure devotion to the Lord, an act of pure devotion to the Lord, or an act to continue his material existence. So he chose to surrender to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when he gave he fulfilled his promise, he was doing devotional service to the Lord. And he became purified by making that choice. And so it wasn't just an ordinary choice in ordinary circumstances. He was presented with the opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord, and he took it. It wasn't forced, he could have not taken it, but he took it. He decided to take it. So that knowing surrender endeared the Lord to so much that he would go to the lower planets with him and be his doorkeeper there. So he would always have his association. So that comes to us all at different circumstances, different times. Will you perform devotional service? Will you follow the prescription for you will, you won't. Fortunately for us, the Lord makes that, when we, as we don't follow, He gives us another chance, another chance, another chance. Bali Maharaj took the chance that came to him, and he got his relationship with the Lord.
So you are saying initially when there is a selfish motive, it's not as important, but when the choice comes to surrender, we all have to make it like Bali Maharaj.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Thank you, Guru, for the nice class. So here you're saying that how it was not because of him wanting to be truthful necessarily. Eventually when he thought about it, he surrendered because he was Lord Vishnu. So, and I understand you were saying that, you know, when you act with integrity doesn't mean necessarily, you know, the birds will be chirping or whatever. But, so here he is, he surrendered out of devotion to Krishna. And then the Lord cheated him and chastised him. Yeah. I mean, is that how it works? I mean,
Well, it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam in different ways what Bali Maharaj's position was. There's in Srimad Bhagavatam 8:22-35, the Lord addresses Bali Maharaj as Veera, or great hero. So he appreciated his heroic act. He also says that Bali Maharaj was fixed in his vow. He did not give up his truthfulness. The Lord talks about forbearance. The devotees if they're defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they're never inclined to avenge themselves. And so Bali Maharaj was purified by the act of surrendering and benedicted by the Lord with his personal association after that surrender.
So it seems like Bali Maharaj, who rightfully possessed the heavenly planets you mentioned, and he surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord cheated him, and Bali Maharaj was tolerant and accepted. So it seems like he was the real hero in this whole thing between him and the Lord. It seems like he turned out to be the real hero in comparison to his Lord.
Well, the Lord addresses Bali Maharaj as a hero specifically. And he puts his devotees, we all experience this too, he puts his devotees in circumstances which glorify them in the eyes of people. They're in such difficult situations that just by the fact that they persevere and go through them, they're done that way so they can be an example to others. It says here in the purport, the Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee.
Thank you.
I have so the fear helped him to surrender, or fear of lying helped him to surrender, or actually surrender assisted by fear?
Well, I think that his concern was primarily that he didn't want to be known as an untruthful person.
So there was a fear.
I don't know that fear is quite the emotion, but concern or concern for being able to be truthful, I don't think he was afraid of the results or the consequences of being truthful. Because there's no indication of that. But, or is it? Is this where it says that the earth can bear anything but not a liar? So, anyway, here I don't know this.
From my limited perspective, to me it seems that he was here because he was very gracious. Gracious. You know, like we saw in the latest election, how somebody wasn't very gracious, and he'd already conquered the three worlds, so he had a huge army. He could have told them to attack Vamanadeva. Of course, it wouldn't have done any good, but, you know, Vamanadeva was just a dwarf. But instead of that, he graciously accepted defeat without any envy or quibbling. So, anyway.
Yeah, that's one of the qualities of acting with integrity, where one does not expect praise as a motive for their actions. Where, as you say, you do it with humility, with resignation to the will of the Lord, as opposed to trying to fight it or make yourself right somehow. Maybe. Those are the things which endear us to a hero. So, right. Anything else? We're over time here. Thank you very much. Thank you.